AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Trade. It is something that comes up on AgriTalk on a regular basis, and we're pointing the spotlight directly at trade this morning. We will preview a major trade mission for the Biden administration and talk grassroots efforts to build overseas markets in this week's Farmer Forum.
Live with fully restored AgriStrength via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we begin with a conversation with Undersecretary of Ag for Trade and Foreign Affairs, Alexis Taylor. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Bill Flory and April Hemis. And directly following the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Not sure if you've got your battery fully recharged or your tank completely full of fuel. Mm-hmm. Either way, I'm glad to have you back, brother. How you doing?
Doing really good. I got to tell you, I drove right through the gut slot of the storms that rolled through yesterday.
Oh,
I timed it just perfectly so I'd be on the road during the middle of it.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
And then facing south, it was nose to the wind the entire rollout from Iowa down here to Kansas City. Let's just say plenty of clean burning ethanol was burnt.
Consumed on the way.
Yes, along the way.
Oof. Yeah, it bucks a little harder that way, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's certainly good to get you back. I'll admit, every time you step away for more than 2 or 3 days, I start thinking, Jesus, is he coming back?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Here you are. I'm glad.
You and the beloved listening audience are competing with the cutest granddaughter ever made.
I know.
So, I don't know what to
understand.
Tell you.
I understand the competition, Davis. I understand. Yeah. So I know what the risks are as we as we go forward. I know where I and this show are on the priority list, and it is somewhere south of that granddaughter.
It may be. Yes.
Good. Good. Perfect. That's a great spot for us to be. All right, dude. Yeah, we are going to be talking trade. Had a conversation with Alexis Taylor this morning. We've got that conversation coming up for you in the next segment. They are on their way to India. And when I say they, I mean a lot of people are on their way to India for a trade mission. We'll get the details from Alexis on that. And then bottom of the hour, we've got a live farmer forum coming your way with April and Bill. Looking forward to that conversation. All right, let's get to the news.
We'll start with the National Weather Service weather outlook, where severe weather and isolated flash flooding for the lower Great Lakes and Ohio Valley today. Moderate to locally heavy mountain snowfall for the northern Rockies. Warm temperatures in the south and desert southwest. Chillier weather for the upper Great Lakes and northern Rockies.
Yeah, we've got the system is making its way through the eastern belt now. Things look to be settling out and stabilizing for a bit, but we do have a chance for rain on Thursday, tomorrow already, I guess, back in the middle of the country.
Well, I don't necessarily want to start here, but we got to start somewhere. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is openly declaring that Representative Mike Johnson's speakership is coming to an end, either imminently or if Republicans gain the House majority. She, along with Representative Thomas Massie, is leading an effort to remove Johnson from his position after he announced plans for votes on foreign aid bills. Chip, I don't feel like we need this.
it's become a my way or the highway party.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. And Taylor Greene does not like the direction of the leadership of the House and therefore is looking to put Johnson on the highway.
Well, Republicans and U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai clashed over Biden's trade policy during her appearance before the House Ways and Means Committee. The term woke was used to critique the administration's approach, with tensions rising as Tai faced sharp questions. Tai did emphasize a commitment to bipartisan dialogue. However, criticism persisted with concerns raised over the record agriculture trade deficit.
Yeah, we did not get to the trade deficit with Alexis Taylor this morning, but in follow-up to the conversation about this trade mission to India, we did talk about U.S.-China relations and how it might be affecting trade.
Great. Well, the EPA released the inventory of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions and sinks 1990 through 2022. The report shows American agriculture reduced emissions by 2% from 21 to 2022. That's the largest decrease, Chip, of any economic sector. AFBF President Zippy Duval remarked, quote, "The latest numbers demonstrate farmers and ranchers' commitment to growing the food and fiber America's families rely on while improving the land, air, and water, a benefit to the farm and climate." Farmers, the first conservationists, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was some easy pickings on some of this progress that has been made.
Perhaps.
We got to recognize that. But there's still progress to be made going forward.
Well, Chip, the first case of highly pathogenic avian influenza has been confirmed in Minnesota in a Meeker County flock impacting more than 70,000 birds. This is the bird flu, the bird kind. Meeker County saw four outbreaks in commercial flocks in 23. Shauna Voss, senior veterinarian for the Minnesota Board of Animal Health, says, quote, "This year we're taking a new approach. Instead of highlighting one disease, we're highlighting one solution for many diseases, which is effective biosecurity." Chip, since 2022, the virus has affected 88.11 million birds. Senator John Bozeman downplayed the idea that Republicans would rather delay a new farm bill for a potential Trump presidency to write a bill next year. He said a new administration would further delay a bill because of turnover in staff, noting, quote, "I would argue for farmers that we have as great a chance, an easier chance of getting a farm bill done this year rather than next year."
Okay.
There you go.
Interesting. All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Margie Echocamp, editor of The Scoop. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning, Chip.
Okay. So Next Gen is always, they're looking for ways of doing things differently, and doing business in ag retail is no different.
Yes. When we think about that next generation of leaders in ag retail and what the next generation of the ag retail business looks like, I think it's important to see it in two prongs. And one of those being the dynamics of the changing farmer customer. The second being that the retailer recognizing that they probably need to be a step ahead of that customer, sure, but also walking alongside them. So we're tracking both of those at The Scoop as we cover the next gen. I had a really illuminating conversation with an ag retail leader, and they shared with me that in their business, they've adopted a growth mindset. So not necessarily thinking about competition and not thinking about a shrinking pie, but rather how can they show up and build a business with farmers? They simplified it as saying offering products and services that can take the monkeys off their back, right? And bring about real solutions. And I highlight that because the next generation may not be looking to bring technology just for technology's sake or be the first one out of the gate, but rather they're really looking to demonstrate the value to this changing dynamic farmer customer dealing with new challenges. So we have a whole series of interviews with our 40 Under 40 awardees who are Next Gen leaders available on The Scoop podcast, and more to come from The Scoop online and in print.
Excellent, excellent. Scoop online, www.thedailyscoop.com, right?
Correct.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Margie. That is Margie Echocamp, editor of The Scoop. We are talking trade, specifically trade mission to India that's coming up next week. Alexis Taylor, Undersecretary for Trade at USDA, next.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us. USDA Undersecretary Alexis Taylor is going to be leading a USDA trade mission to India April 22nd through the 25th. That's coming up just next week. She will be leading a delegation, 47 businesses and organizations, officials from 11 different state departments of agriculture. This is a major effort by USDA and the U.S. ag industry to build trade relations with India. Undersecretary Alexis Taylor joins us right now. Undersecretary, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chip, for having me.
Yeah, this is a major effort, a major trade effort for USDA and the Biden administration, isn't it?
Well, I think our trade missions are a really important tool to help support our U.S. food and agricultural businesses get into markets all over the world. And India is, I think, a really important market. We all kind of hear about the demographic trends. They're now the most populous country in the world. They actually have a very young population. And just last year, we had a series of successes on the tariff front where India reduced over 10 food and agricultural related tariffs. And so our exports were being severely impacted, or our ability to export was being severely impacted. So like now is a great opportunity. And I see, yeah. I think you see that with the sheer number of businesses and agricultural associations and states being represented on this trade mission.
Yeah, I'll bet they were lining up for this one because this is a huge market. Let's talk about those products that did see some reduced tariffs. And that was right at about a year ago that that happened. Poultry, vegetables, fruits, pulses, tree nuts were on that list. Has it made a difference?
It has made a difference for several of those that were really implemented in September. Things like almonds and apples, chickpeas, lentils and walnuts. We have seen market share continue to grow in those categories. India at one point was our largest apple export market. When retaliatory tariffs were placed on U.S. apple exports, that effectively went to almost zero. And we're building back up. We're excited to have some representatives from apple businesses joining us. But we're already seeing, I think, that interest in U.S. apples gain momentum there. Some of those other tariffs on the duck, on the turkey, those just went into effect in kind of February and March. And so we expect to see similar impact in the market and again, have those products and companies and exporters with us coming next week. And we expect to see similar momentum coming out of that.
Okay. All right. What is priority one for this trade mission? I mean, we're talking about India. It's a huge market. We know that. Purchasing power of the middle class is on the rise. We know that. It's a young market. You just said that. So this can't be an exploratory trade mission. What is priority one?
Well, for those nearly 25 businesses, we will set them up with importer meetings, almost like speed dating, where they will have an action-packed, jam-packed meeting schedule to showcase their products, make relationships, and either it maybe expand if they're already exporting to India, or build those first-time relationships and get sales on the ground. We know this works. I just came back from Korea, where I led a trade mission, and what we had is $70 million and projected 12-month sales coming out of those nearly 600 business-to-business meetings. So first and foremost, we're there to really showcase what we have to offer, help our businesses. What we do is open the door so they can walk through and make those sales.
Yeah.
But also, really to advance a variety of, you know, issues that we're experiencing that could be limiting our exports as well. And so that's why we have state departments of agriculture on the trip. That's why we have industry associations on the trip to help them build relationships as well, but also to advance and really showcase some of the challenges that we have, because India, for all the positives, is still an extremely challenging market to operate in.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go through some of those policies that are in place that are maybe restricting trade a bit. What are the top policy priority hurdles that you want to clear on this mission?
Well, I think one of them, we really want to advance, the U.S. Grains Council is coming on the trip with us, is around ethanol. They recently lowered the ethanol tariff for industrial uses to zero. That was one of the additional tariff reductions that we saw. But we can't really get into the fuel sector yet. India has really ambitious climate goals. And to decarbonize and or lower the carbon output of their on-road vehicle fleet. Ethanol is a great way to do that. And so we think there are a couple ways they could do that that could be really complementary, either directly importing U.S. ethanol or the feedstock to create their own ethanol. And they don't have to be competitive. Another policy issue is they had committed to advancing GE alfalfa certifications. They need the feed. Again, this is something that we can complement them on, and working to engage on some of the challenges around their GE regulation that we've seen that is impacting their own agricultural sector.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, GE or GMO technology and traits in India, it seems that the farm community has adopted the use of those products very quickly, but the general public still shows some hesitancy to accept those products. Is that still the case?
You know, this is still a very politically charged issue with many in India, consumers in India, absolutely. And, you know, it is in the United States at times as well. And as I'm talking to trading partners about the benefit our agricultural community has seen, we also need to talk about the realities of how do we talk to consumers about the safety? What does the science say about these products? And we share that experience with trading partners as well, because it is a challenge that many countries experience. And we need to be able to have honest conversations with our consumers about why we want to use these products, the benefit of these products. We hear consumers want climate smart, climate resilient food and agricultural products. Well, biotechnology is an important tool to help build resiliency. And so we have to have those conversations, and we share how we talk to our consumers in the United States with trading partners. And certainly will be part of the conversation, I expect, as I meet with government officials from India.
Okay. So when you and this delegation come home, you're going to call this trip a success if what issues are settled?
So I think India is a long-term road, right? We know that and we've seen that. So I think it's more of how have we advanced some of these issues? You know, they are coming up to an election. I think and their elections run for a month, so through the month of May. And so I don't expect anything to be quote unquote settled coming out of these government to government meetings. But I think advancing the issue, keeping this on the priority list from the United States. So when the elections in June, the outcome is known, we have that ability to re-engage and to be able to advance these issues further.
Okay. All right, couple of minutes left here. I want to jump over to China. Secretary Vilsack recently suggested China's reduced purchases of U.S. ag products could be linked to restrictions on foreign ownership of U.S. farmland. And he wondered out loud if China's shift to Brazilian supplies is a pattern of Chinese retaliation against the U.S. Do you think that might be happening?
Well, I think what both the United States and China realized during 2018, at really the height of our trade tensions, where agriculture was caught in the middle of the larger U.S.-China relationship was we were over-reliant on China as a market, and China realized they were over-reliant on the United States as a supplier. And so as we are out there aggressively working on market diversification with our food and ag sector, China also is looking for diverse suppliers. And I think that's why we've seen a really strong shift to Brazil and South America. I think they watch very closely the conversation that's going on in the United States. I think some of the conversation and rhetoric we hear is unhelpful to the larger relationship in agriculture. They have raised the conversation that many are having around foreign land ownership to us directly at USDA. But I would say our focus right now at USDA is helping our industry think about different markets and open the door in those markets. That's why we've rolled out a $1.2 billion regional agriculture promotion program with our industry to think about and open new markets around the world with a focus on Africa, South America, Latin America, and Southeast Asia.
Gotcha. Well, we are out of time, but thank you so much for your time this morning. And boy, travel safe, and good luck to you on this trade mission.
Great. Thanks so much. I look forward to highlighting what we achieved, what the outcomes were, and what we were able to advance for U.S. food and agricultural interests in 2 weeks when I'm back.
Excellent. Sounds great. Thank you so much. That is USDA Undersecretary Alexis Taylor. We'll be back with more AgriTalk in a moment.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
Joining us now, ProFarmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, the bean market, soy complex general has been under pressure first couple of days this week, trying to get some of that back. What's going on?
Yeah, that's basically in a nutshell what's happening, Chip. Rough start to the week with the first 2 days of active selling, and here we are at mid-morning clawing back a good portion of what we lost yesterday. In those markets, but still down for the week. And so there's some room to run to the upside. But probably the most encouraging thing right now is that we're seeing it across all three markets, soybean, soy meal, and soy oil.
Yeah.
So just corrected buying.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, you take a look at the WTI, that's under some pressure, back under $85 this morning. So some things are happening there. Mixed trade in corn and wheat.
Yeah, so wheat's trading mostly to the downside, and that's somewhat limiting corn. But the strength in the soy complex that we talked about is helping corn. And corn's kind of just caught in the middle, to be honest, sitting there chopping around unchanged and directionless. And news is lacking, and so corn is sitting here with nowhere to go in a hurry, basically.
All right. Boy, mixed trade in livestock. What's happening?
Yeah, starting to weaken up just a little bit in the live cattle futures here. And probably not a surprise, we saw strong corrective gains the first 2 days this week. Cash cow trade probably isn't going to happen until sometime Friday. We have the cattle on feed report Friday afternoon. And so just pausing there in live cattle futures this morning. Mixed trade in feeders with no direction there, and mixed trade in the lean hogs as well.
All right. Thank you, Brian. That is ProFarmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us. Interesting conversation with Alexis Taylor, USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs. We're going to bring in a farmer forum right now that has been very focused on trade for a while. And a couple of the leaders, farm leaders, when it comes to developing ag trade around the world. Let's start with April Hammes from Iowa, Northern Iowa. April, it's good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm doing good. You're kind of sucking up to me, Chip. I'm not used to that.
Well, but, you know.
Hey, we got an inch and a half of rain, so I'm happy.
We got like 2.5 down here just north of Waterloo, April.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no. I only have about 100 acres of corn left to plant all my beans, and so that rain was heaven sent.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That's the best rain that we've had. We didn't have a rain like that in Iowa. Yeah, we didn't have a rain like that in 2023.
It just didn't happen.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't know the wipers still worked on my truck. So
that's right. Well,
good to find out.
Good. I'm glad you caught it up there. And unfortunately, there was some severe weather that came along with it. I don't think that there was any loss of life or anything in Iowa, but some barns, down trees. Yeah, so we're going to be okay coming out of it. Good stuff, April. Stand by. Bill Flory, out in Idaho. How are you, Bill?
Hey, good morning, Skip. Very good.
Good, good. How's the weather out your way?
Weather's good. Spring planting's moving along. When I hear you and April talk about Iowa, I think of our good late friend Bill Northey. Spent a lot of time with him over the past 30 years, and great Iowa asset, great USDA asset, great father and grandfather, and spent some time with him and just before he passed, and when we were in Hawaii, and when I think of Iowa, I think of Bill Northey, I think of his wife Cindy and daughters and grandkids. So
yeah, he'll be greatly missed. Yeah,
absolutely, greatly missed is exactly right. You guys, the other day, when news started to break that H5N1 bird flu was making its way into dairies, the first thing I did was I grabbed my phone and I was going to call Bill and just talk through it and talk about how to cover this issue and the questions that needed to be asked and so on. And I mean, I was looking for his name in my contacts before I remembered and realized what I was doing. It's sad and it still hurts. I still miss him. Yeah, very much.
Truly the best friend agriculture could have.
Yep.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to go to college with him and have known him since then, which was a long time ago. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, Bill, you heard the conversation that we had with Alexis Taylor. What's your takeaway there? I mean, did anything really catch your attention in this conversation?
Well, Chip, three things did. Literally, as we're speaking, I've got drills that are seeding garbanzos, chickpeas, which the undersecretary mentioned when it comes to trade with India, and extremely important, those lentils are part of the legume mix that make our wheat rotation with legumes and brassicas so successful. So to hear the emphasis on that and the USDA push for free and fair trade and open trade is good news.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, April, we've been talking for so long about India. India is a really, really tough nut to crack when it comes to opening up trade. But it feels like there are at least some inroads and some cracks in their armor, right?
Right, exactly. Let's put it out there. India is not going to be the next China for a lot of ag products.
Right.
It just isn't. But like when she was talking poultry, that was, I just got off a conversation with the United Soybean Export Council chair, Lance Rizak, and he was loading hogs in Kansas where he's from. But poultry is our number one user for soybeans. And they're now letting in non-GM soybean meal because, like a lot of places, you know, they don't care if the animals eat GM soybeans right. or corn, but they care if the humans do. So we're, and she mentioned that they're the GE, she called yep. it GE alfalfa, or you know, the moving, just explaining. And, you know, I remember I was on a panel just the other day and I said, I've been raising these for 30 years. What else do you guys want? You know, when they say we need more testing, we need to know it's safe. So just yeah. getting out there, telling our story. And man, she was like the most enthusiastic USDA representative. I don't know if she's an Iowa girl or what, but.
Oh yeah, she is. She's a cyclone.
I know she is, but I didn't know if her enthusiasm came from, you know, being an Iowa farm girl, but it's just nice to have somebody with that kind of energy out there representing us.
Well, that's an excellent point.
Chip also, mm-hmm. Yeah, Chip also, he was Secretary of Ag in Oregon here in the
Oregon,
Northwest.
Yeah.
So she understands after she was raised and educated in the other I state. You know, quite frankly.
There's another I state?
Well, four I states, April, when there's not three.
Oh, okay.
And Mr. Harkin and I discussed that regularly at length several years ago. Anyway, April also understands, I think, very well the importance of Portland to the Asian market and
exactly.
to the Central and South America market. And so yep. that time spent there, extremely important for trade and an understanding of that part of the world and the potential. So, well, I think she's well placed as undersecretary.
Oh yeah. My gosh, yes. You know, we were talking about how qualified Bill Northey was for the role that he played at USDA for a few years. Alexis may be more qualified, may be better suited for her role as Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs than even Bill was. For his role at USDA, she's unbelievably qualified.
Yep.
I wonder.
Go ahead.
But you guys, I wonder if she isn't being underutilized. And the reason that I say that is these trade missions are different.
I wish we had more trade. Yeah, yes.
Trade missions are different than trade talks, April.
Exactly. Yes, that's what I was going to point out. And I was glad she mentioned that success is long term. I mean, it took us 40 some years to break into the China market,
yeah.
you know, at least for soybeans and corn. It's a long term, hard slogging. They're going to protect their local people. You know, poultry farmers and soybean farmers and corn, you know, they're going to protect our local people first. But I agree. We need these trade talks. And I think that's why Ambassador Tai was on the Hill.
Yep.
They were asking her about that.
Very aggressively.
Yes.
They were asking Ambassador Tai about why aren't we looking for more free trade agreements with countries around the world. And Bill, it's become an interesting conversation in farm country. The difference between fair trade, free trade, reciprocal trade. And I sit and I look at a U.S. ag trade deficit of $16.7 billion that has developed over the past 3-4 years. And I wonder to myself, are we ever going back to a period of ag trade surplus?
Well, I think that's a great question, and there was a lot of pressure on the trade ambassador yesterday. Quite frankly, part of trade is politics. regional as well as international politics, not to mention the strength of a dollar. And so a consistent approach by USDA from the secretary and of course the White House on down is exceptionally important. One of the things about India that they use tariffs very randomly, but probably judiciously in their mind, to limit and or to encourage trade, and we see that in a number of their products, and so April, to your comment, India's a tough nut to crack. They're good negotiators, and they obviously have a long-term plan, but they are good at using tariffs, and that provides some wild swings in products like lentils and garbanzos, yeah, who have had major market impacts.
Yeah. Right. Yep. You know, and April, you made a great point as well by emphasizing that some of these trade issues that we've got with India are all about India trying to protect their domestic markets and provide markets for their farmers. These artificial trade barriers are creating some hoops and red tape for the U.S. ag industry to cut that, you know, quite frankly, it's not fair. If we're going to open up to products coming in from India, there should be an avenue for U.S. products into India as well. We are in the middle of a farmer forum. April Hemmes from Iowa, Bill Flory from Idaho. We'll keep it going.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We're in the middle of the Farmer Forum. April Hemmes from Iowa, Bill Flory from Idaho, two of the 4 I states represented on AgriTalk.
I really thought there was only one, but.
So, Bill, your reaction when I said that about, can we ever get back to an ag trade surplus in the U.S.? You said it was a good question. What do you think? Can the U.S. get back to a positive trade balance on ag trade?
Well, I think it not only takes the commodity groups like April and I have, you know, been part of, involved with, and will continue to support, takes those grower funds to maintain, have presence and maintain perspective, have relationships, host trade teams there, and like I have on my farm a number of times, to show the passion, conviction that we have for a quality, consistent product. But it also takes consistent political understanding that this impacts all the economy and can be a very important part of a strong, resilient economy here at home.
Yeah. Yeah. April, I wonder how much of this is going to take some rebranding of U.S. product. And what I mean by that is I've seen the examples of some Asian produced products in particular that are labeled, that carry the label produced with sustainable U.S. soy. I think that's a cool label, and it's what keeps our foot in the door of these markets going forward, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how that S word, sustainability, has come along and been accepted around the world. I mean, when I first got on the United Soybean Board, it was, you know, we just had started talking about it. And now I think it's over 60% of the soybeans sold around the world get that, you know, get at least a certificate. And now we have a label they can put on there, because it's amazing how the consumers are really starting to ask for it. So it's, you know, it's shocking to me, but to Bill's point, those people love talking to farmers, and I've had them, you know, on my farm too, driving my combine or out there. And, you know, we have a great story to tell, but it's one-on-one. And you're right. The labeling, you know, we're not cutting down trees. You know, we're not deforesting, but we still have so many non-tariff barriers against us in a lot of these markets.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to square those up with reality.
Yeah. And I got a question for you, Chip.
Yes.
Bill and I were talking at the break. So in your opinion and Bill's, and this is getting into politics, which I know you love, India, they have sided with Russia, China, and Brazil, yet we're still trying to break into that market. Do you think they're going to have to make they're playing both sides of it now. I mean, they are in the driver's seat. So what do you think about that?
Well, okay. Now I've got to separate here a little bit from a farm perspective. We can't go forward without pursuing that Indian market. We've got to.
I agree.
Because it is.
We were talking about how politics plays into everything. That's what sparked that when Bill said that. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. When you look at their population demographics and how much money it's not even the middle third anymore, you guys. It's like the middle 60% in India. How much disposable income they actually have for food, to not pursue the market would be a huge mistake, I believe.
Oh yeah, no, right, yeah.
So you got to go after it. You got to go after it, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I think so. But it's just frustrating from the other side of it. So.
Oh. Well, yeah, when I asked Alexis about some of the positioning of China, and is China's moving away from U.S. supplies, corn and soybeans in particular, is that a pattern of retaliation against I'm not talking about trade policy. I'm just talking about U.S.-China policy and relations in general. Bill, it feels like we're being punished every day by China as exporters. Well,
yeah, and it's a highly competitive world, including not only in chips and in technology, but also in ag products. But I want to give a shout out. You know, we're talking about India and expanding middle class in India, expanding diets, going away from food, food protein and a little more to animal. And of course that means feed, but I want to give a shout out to the administration and to the undersecretary in regard to the bilateral agreements that they've been working on. Not near as sexy, not near as large and headline oriented, but the undersecretary just came back from one in Korea, which she referenced. Yep. And I want to say that approach and shoring up those regional and or bilateral agreements is extremely important. It sends a clear message, not only to our customers, to our competitors, but also to our producers. So shout out to them.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. And it's a point that Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst with Jim Wiesmeyer, makes on here on a regular basis. When he starts talking about Biden trade policy and how it compares to Trump trade policy, those one-on-one conversations is what it was all about under Trump, and it's what it's all about under the Biden administration as well. You guys are fantastic. Thanks for making time. April, I'm glad you caught a rain. Be safe out there this spring.
You bet.
All right.
Thanks,
Bill,
Chip. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Bill, same to you. Be safe, my friend. We'll talk to you later.
Yep. Okay. Let's talk technology sometime.
Yes, we should. Yes, we should. April Hemmes from Iowa. Bill Florey from Idaho. Come back this afternoon. Bill Baruch from Blue Line Futures here on AgriTalk.